Well, I had the unfortunate, or fortunate, whichever you might choose to call it, opportunity to be a PK. And most of you know what that is. That's a preacher's kid. I wasn't born a preacher's kid. I was born a preacher's grandchild. And then later on, I became a preacher's kid. So with this setting for my life, you can imagine a lot of things that took place. Our life was oriented around the church. And I heard the gospel all my life. And so when I was 9 years old, in a youth meeting, I became convicted that I needed to accept Christ and have my sins forgiven and to have Him come into my life. And so one night, by myself in bed, I did that. But although the Lord was speaking to me about telling someone about it, especially my parents, I never did. And so since I didn't go to someone and express my heart to them, no one was able to come to me and give me the help that I needed as a new Christian. And so about 2 weeks later, I began to doubt whether it had really taken. Well, that was the tone of my life. Now, remember, I think about this a lot. And at one time I purposed that by the time I was 12 years old, I'd go and talk to somebody about it and invite Christ into my life again. But I never made it. And I got into high school and was kind of an average guy. Went out for baseball. And anyway, I got out. As high school progressed, I decided I wanted to go to college. Well, during this time, I attended a YFC meeting, and the Lord spoke to me about dedicating my life to the Lord. And it seemed real strange to me that that should happen, because I wasn't sure I was a Christian. So I went forward, and I did it. And then about a year later, I became convinced that I'd ought to get baptized, and so I got myself baptized. And then I went away to college. And college was a real eye-opener. I lived in a small town, the same one, all my life, and the town was pretty straight. And I went around with the right guys. We went to the right places and did the right things, and just wasn't too messed up. So college was a shock. And I went to the University of Illinois and lived in a dorm with a bunch of guys that were obviously not Christians. And after about a day and a half, I was thoroughly disgusted with their set of standards. But I didn't really have the strength in my life to be a positive influence on them. And I found out that although I could keep from developing a habit of swearing or drinking or smoking, that I thought in the same terms they did. And to me, that was just as bad as if I was saying it. And I remember my first vacation, Thanksgiving vacation, I went home, and I really hated to open my mouth. I was just like I was trapped. And a lot of you fellows may have experienced that same feeling. Trapped by all these things that are going on in your mind that you know don't honor Christ and are opposed to the standards of your parents and the standards that you really believe are right and proper. Well, after the first year, I became so disgusted with this that I decided to get out of the dorm situation, and I made up my mind that I wanted to get together with some Christians, and I knew where some were, and so I started to hang around. And these were in an university group and also in a Christian fraternity. And I started attending Bible study. Actually, it wasn't Bible study. It was kind of Sherry Rignorance group. a bunch of fellas. And it really helped me. And then we decided in our university group to have a campus mission. And Reverend John R.W. Stott was in the States that year and had several missions up at Ivy League schools. And I got involved in that, and I gave my testimony in this dormitory meeting and went around, and we personally contacted about 6,000 students. And all this time I wasn't sure I was a Christian, and I felt miserable inside, and I really don't know why I did it. But one night at this mission, he spoke on Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. He explained how Christ wants to come into our life, what he wants to do when he comes in. And then he hit upon my need. He said, some people here have done this and yet you don't know that Christ is in your life. Boy, that was exactly me. He was talking right straight at me. And he said, the reason is that although you've asked Christ in, and he's come in, if you ask him, he'll come in. He said, Christ has come in, but you've invited him into the back room of your life, but you never fellowship with him. You rarely pull out your Bible and read it, and you rarely pray to him and express what's on your heart. And that was the story of my life. I did what I pleased, when I pleased to do it. And Christ didn't help me make my decisions. He said that that Christ would become real to me if I'd ask Christ to sit in the place of honor in my life, and that he'd help me make my decisions. And boy, a light turned on, and from that night on, I became 100% sure that if I died, I'd go to heaven. And I'd been searching, you know, for that knowledge all these years since I'd been 9. And I probably would have received it if I'd have gone to someone for help, but I hadn't. Well, that revolutionized my life. And I found out that although I was pretty scared, that I could begin to talk to another person about Christ. And things changed. My personality began to change. And I began to open up, and I could express myself to people in a new way. And God has added purpose to my life that I never had before. I was going to college because I didn't know what else to do. And this purpose is probably partly expressed in 1 Samuel 2:35. And I will raise up for myself a faithful priest who shall do according to what is in my heart and in my mind. And I will build him a sure house, and he shall go in and out before mine anointed forever. What God is looking for are faithful people who will do what he wants rather than what we ordinarily want. And someone that will take the time to find out what's on his heart and what's on his mind so that it can be done.